Good morning and welcome. I welcome you all to the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville. If you're visiting with us this morning, let me do some introductions. I am the Reverend Mark Gowan, and I will be leading worship today. Matt Gowan will be the liturgist this morning. Heather Hicks will be leading the Especially for Children. Jen Spurr will be sharing her musical talents with us as a soloist. And Lynn Meyer will be playing the organ and piano for us this morning. If you're visiting with us in the sanctuary, I invite you to fill out a welcome card and leave it in one of the offering plates that are at the back of the main part of the sanctuary here. If you're visiting with us at home, I invite you to leave a message on Facebook. If you want to know more about this congregation, you can talk to me following the service or call the church office at 614-882-3155. Today I have a few announcements to share with you all. First of all, the flowers this morning are given by Lori Lewis in memory of Connie Ackerman, and we thank her for that. Today is the first Sunday in Advent, and I want to thank everyone who helped decorate our sanctuary after worship last Sunday. This coming Friday evening, our Dine Out group will be headed out. They'll be going to Lucky House at 6:30, and you can talk to Jim Hines or call the church office for more information. There will be a church work day on Saturday, December 4th. That's to work off all the food you ate at Lucky House the night before. We'll be preparing the grounds for winter, and so we invite you to join us at the church next Saturday at 9:30. Bring clothes appropriate to the weather that day, and a rake, and maybe a tarp if you had it. A lot of what we'll be doing is raking up the leaves out there. Want to thank everyone who made a pledge to the 2022 budget for our church. Those of you who would still like to make a pledge can do so. Pledge cards are available in the pews. You can either leave them in the offering plates or send them to the church to the attention of the treasurer. Your pledges help our session to make plans for the coming year. The Westerville Habitat Partnership will be having a Christmas concert this year, but it will not be the progressive concert that we've had in past years. It will be held at Church of Messiah, December 10th at 7 p.m. All five of the Westerville Partnership churches will share in the music that evening. If you would like to participate in this, there are three ways to do that. First, you can attend the concert in person that night. You can watch it stream directly from the event, and you can also watch it later as it's posted on the Habitat website. Tickets will not be sold to this event, but they are looking for donations, and those donations will help build Habitat houses in the area. The Habitat for Humanity Soup for Shelter event, which is often preceded the progressive concert, is going on. Event made with beautiful soup bowls made by students at the Columbus Academy, and many delicious soups as part of the celebration. It will also be held on December 10th from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Otterbein Campus Center. Columbus Academy is part of the Habitat partnership, and this is their contribution to the event. Tickets will be sold for $15 each, can be bought from Bernie Simpkins, Diana Westfall, John Cameron, or Sue Ann Norton. And now let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude.
Thank you. Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship. Arise, rejoice, Christ is coming. Open the door, sweep the path, prepare the way. Christ will come to us in our deepest need and bring us all into the presence of our God.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Let us worship our God together.
Hear the words of the prophet Isaiah. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble to your presence. When you did those awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways.
Christians around the world begin this day to await the advent of Christ. We join with a joyous and hopeful throng in lighting the Advent candles, symbols of our faith and signs of God's love. As we light the first Advent candle, let it stand for hope. Let this hope be based not on wishful thinking, but on deep conviction. We believe, we have seen, we have received great gift, and therefore in the midst of darkness and imperfection, we hope. Like the prophet, we wait and we hope for God's presence to come to us. So we gather expectantly, for we have heard that God is to be among us, and that soon we will see a new creation on earth. We are a people of hope.
Let us pray. O God of past and future, may the hope that we symbolize in this candle become to real hope of faith lived in the world today. Amen.
Thank you. I'm going to keep my mask on this morning because I have a little helper who's coming down to help me with the children's message this morning. Hi, Andrew. You going to help me out this morning? Yeah. I've got a poster board here with all of the leaves that people have written on from our church, things that they are thankful for. And we just celebrated Thanksgiving, didn't we? Yeah, did you bring a list of things you're thankful for? Wow, thank you. We can put these on there too. I have a few here. I'm not going to read them all off because there are so many. Thank you all for writing things that you are thankful for on the leaves and putting them in our little box. I'm going to read off a few today, just a few, and I'm going to read off what Andrew brought to me. But we have so many. Yeah, all right. But you all can read these after church. I have included things that people have written online. So those who are not with us here but are with us virtually, I wrote some of those down. So I'm going to read a couple of these off to you. Okay. One of them says, catch up chatter at church, reviewing fifth grade math homework, working, warming my hands in my husband's hands. And sunshine, crisp temperatures, and fall colors. Bike paths for walking and riding. My dogs who help me through each day. Books that transport me to another time, place, and life. Spending my life with my best friend, music, love, and laughter. Great family and friends, finding humor in many places, beautiful sunrise and sunset colors. Thankful for my wonderful family, also my friends at church. Such a blessing. Thank you, God. I am thankful for my loving, caring children. I am thankful for friends I can call at 3 a.m. And I'm going to read Andrew's now. Are you going to help me, Andrew? What's this one? Riding your bike, yes. Oh, and what's this one? Mimi and Papa. Oops, I missed one. Thankful for Grammy and Papa. For your friends, yeah. Ellie and Maisie, my dogs. What is this one? Mommy and Daddy. Some of these he hand wrote, so I'm having a little trouble here. My cars and toys. Seeing Christmas lights already. Play. Yeah, going to the conservatory. Oh, that's one of my favorite things, too. Toys to play with. And making a snowman. I think these are great. And I'm going to put these on the board here after church, okay? But I want to thank you for coming up today. Can we say a prayer? Okay, let's thank God. I'll take it, honey. Thank you. Let's say a prayer. Almighty and loving God, we thank you for our children who are so thankful and for our church family who is so thankful for all the many blessings you give us. We pray that you would continue to be with us and remind us of all of those things, big and small, that you bring and give to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming up today, Andrew.
My Lord, what a morning.
Our passage this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." Our second passage is from Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. "Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake up from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably in the day, not in reveling in drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires."
Thank you all. Let us pray. O Lord God, as we ponder these scripture passages this morning, we ask that your Spirit work within me and within all of us to come to a greater understanding of you. Amen. A few years ago, there was an interesting advertising campaign to sell cars. Now, usually when cars are sold, the advertisement features the look of the car, or the handling of the car, or maybe the luxury features of the car, and in some cases, maybe the practicality of the car. But this ad campaign was a little different, and that's what caught my attention because, well, I guess it just went in a little different direction. In the television ad I saw, the car buyers are in the lot looking at the car that the advertisers want to sell, and they're looking over the various features of the car, and when they come to the trunk, they open the trunk, and all of a sudden a very mellow, soothing music starts, and there is a vision as the camera moves into the trunk of people out in a field of flowers on a hillside enjoying the music. And the punchline of the ad is that the car will bring you peace and tranquility. I was suddenly peaceful, but also a little agitated. I mean, I wondered if I needed to buy that car. And then I wondered if the prophet Isaiah would have bought that car. I guess I shouldn't be surprised that someone would try to sell a car for its peacefulness. Cars have always been sold for on emotion as much as logic. The car companies try to sell us on how the car will make us, how the car will make us feel. It'll make us feel fast or powerful or strong or pampered or content, and now apparently peaceful. But then car makers have always tried to appeal to our deeper longings. Longings for success, for happiness, for power, for control over our lives. And so why not peacefulness? Again, reflecting on the prophet Isaiah, I don't think he was trying to sell cars or chariots for that matter, but he was tapping into our deeper human longings. I wonder if Isaiah lived today, would he be in advertising? Oh, but Isaiah lived and prophesied in the 8th century before the birth of Christ. And in the time of Isaiah's life, it was a very somber period in the history of Israel, especially for the people of Israel. The superpower of the time, Assyria, had successfully invaded and occupied the northern half of the country of Israel, leaving the southern territory, which was known as Judah, feeling very vulnerable and threatened. It was a time of great uncertainty and great tension, a time not so much unlike our own. The events of the past few years would remind us that the world is uncertain and as tension-filled as it's ever been. Judah was learning to live with that tension, and so are we. You know, I think the Christmas season makes all that uncertainty especially difficult. For Christmas taps into something deep within us, only we don't really know what that something is quite often. Something about the season brings up memories of years past and hopes for years to come. But most of the time, we only get a hint of those memories and only a glimpse of those hopes. What we usually get is a sense that something is there, but something that is just out of our grasp. We enter this time of year with a deep longing that we can't quite pin down, and yet we grasp at it. We want something more than what we have, but we're not entirely sure what that more is. Maybe it is peace. Maybe it's just peace of mind. Maybe it's happiness, or maybe it is just waiting for something to happen. Maybe it's love. Maybe it's something more. For many of us, this season is a season of searching, and yet we're not often quite sure what we are searching for. Isaiah never had to deal with Christmas, but he knew full well the deep longings of the human soul. He knew that we humans want something out of life that is more than the daily grind and the superficial trappings. He knew that we humans often don't have any idea what we really want. But Isaiah did. And he presented to us in our scripture this morning a vision of the answer to all our questions, to the end of all our searchings, and for the fulfillment of all our longings. Isaiah offers us a vision that takes us to that place. He takes us to a holy mountain where not only we will be, but all the peoples of the world will be there too. There we will find ourselves instructed on how to live with each other, how to find success and happiness and peace. In this great vision of Isaiah, all our inner longings are revealed and fulfilled. Oh, but it is only a vision, a dream, an imagining of perhaps a crazy prophet. Hardly a reality in this day-to-day world, whether it be his day-to-day world or ours. The wars still came to Judah, and wars have come ever since. Times of prosperity have come, but there have also been as many times of recession and inflation and economic hardship like we are experiencing now. But what is life if it isn't held up by some sort of vision? Car companies sell their cars by selling us a vision, don't they? Fast cars, driving on curvy mountain roads. I can see myself in that car. I could feel good in that car. I could buy that car, even though there aren't any mountains here in central Ohio. But I could drive down Sunbury Road. And car companies aren't the only ones selling us a vision. Think of the beverage ads that you see on television. They show us beautiful people drinking their product on a sunny beach or by a cool mountain stream, and you can just imagine yourself doing just that while drinking that particular beverage. Toy companies also do it, don't they? Especially at this time of year. They sell us a vision of Christmas morning with happy kids playing with the latest must-have toys. Everyone is smiling, and there is no fighting over who plays with the special toy first. And no toy ever gets broken on Christmas morning. And you ever notice there's never a mess in those rooms? Who hasn't held a vision of Christmas morning like that? Isaiah gives us a vision too, an alternative vision to the life we are living. But what do we do with it? On one hand, it sounds just too absurd, too impossible to realize. The bleak realities of our world are too present for us to take Isaiah seriously. And yet, there is something in this vision that tugs at us. We want to believe that this is possible. We want it to be true. What Isaiah gives us is a vision and a mystery. God's own peace and justice will occur among the nations, Isaiah tells us. But it'll occur in the days to come. What days? How? Perhaps that is all we can say, is that the vision describes what God is doing in the world. And perhaps all that we can know for sure is that God is still doing it, making this vision a reality, even though we cannot see it in its completion. And that, my friends, is what this season is all about. This season that the world calls the Christmas season, but we in the church call the Advent season. Advent, because during this season, we in the church claim something is about to happen. Something that is more than we can ever hope for is already happening. Peace and happiness may not be just around the corner, but the one who brings peace and instill happiness is. Perhaps the most powerful verse in this whole passage may be the last one that Matt read. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. After giving the people a vision of what God is doing, the prophet calls them to walk in that light. Advent is just this. Walking in the light of God's promises. It is the light of God's future. God's future casts a beam into the present, illuminating the way through the darkness that surrounds us, illuminating those longings that hide deep within us. Advent is also an invitation to us, an invitation to walk in that light. Advent is an invitation to make our choices for the season so that they head towards the light. Not, as Paul in the letter to Romans tells us, are the ways away from the light. Our personal choices, our communal choices, our relational choices, our economic choices, all of the choices that we make are to be made to reflect the light of God's future. And Isaiah gives us a vision of that future so we will know where to walk this Advent season. The great preacher William Sloan Coffin Jr., before he was pastor at the famed Riverside Presbyterian Church in New York City, happened to work for the CIA. I would love to follow that career path, wouldn't you? His mission in the CIA was to train Russians who had defected to the West so that they could go back to their country as spies for the CIA. That is training ground for ministry, isn't it? On one occasion, Reverend Coffin was talking with one of these Russian spies about the high failure rate of the CIA program in Russia. He wrote about the conversation. "What struck me," he wrote, "was their patience and their conviction that ultimately in this world you have to do what is right and only penultimately what is effective. Had these Russians depended on success for spiritual nourishment, their souls long ago would have starved to death." When I asked the one I got to know best, "Boris, why do you persist when the results are so pitiful?" he answered, "Dear friend, doesn't God himself have that problem with all of us?" And that may be the best illustration of Isaiah's message for us this morning, that God persists even when the results amongst us humans are so pitiful. And I, for one, thank God that God does. Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. And now if you would join me in the prayers of the people this morning, let us pray. God of the Advent season, we offer our prayers to you for the needs of our congregation, for our community, and for our world. We pray for those who have come to worship this morning seeking a holy moment. Grant that they may experience your presence in their lives. We pray for those who are facing health concerns and who are battling disease, recovering from surgery, struggling with mental health issues, and all who need to be made whole in body and mind. We pray for those who on this holiday weekend are separated from loved ones either by physical distance or relational divides. We pray for those who are grieving, those who are brokenhearted, those who are lost and do not know where to turn. We pray for our church and our community that we may demonstrate in word and deed your kindness and peace. We pray for the work of your church, that your message of love and forgiveness will spread throughout the world, bringing justice and blessings to all people. Let us pray in silence to the Lord. Lord God, you gave us your Son to prepare us for your kingdom. May our lives be a daily preparation for the day when we see you as you are. We ask this in the name of Christ our Lord. And now, please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand for the congregational response. May you go in peace with the vision of Isaiah before you. May that peace become real in your life this day and always. Amen.